When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Boom, Leafs Nation, what's going on? It's your guys from Offside, Clark Monroe, Dylan Fournier, talking about, well, the Leafs week that was with the weekender in your ears. And guess what? Maple Leafs lucky number 7, that's what we're calling it. The week that was, boys. This team was a rolling. Someone had a James Roberts 4-0, and it was the Maple Leafs getting her done against bad teams, good teams, and teams in between, scoring 50, 300-point marks. There was a lot of check marks happening this week for the Maple Leafs on the week that was. Boys, we'll go around the horn here. What was your marquee moment this week? You can't take Austin Matthews' 50th goal because it really doesn't mean much because he's going to score 70. So what is your marquee moment this week for the Leafs, Clark Monroe?
Oh, there was a lot. I'm going to have to go with because I'm going to let Dylan have the big no, I'm letting you have the one. Nope. I'm gonna go
no, because I'll probably get it wrong. You say that every time and I always get it wrong, so you have to say it.
I'm gonna go off and say Max Domi, his big game.
That's what I was gonna go with.
Okay, never mind, I didn't say that. I'm gonna say Tyler Bertuzzi's hat trick. just putting an exclamation point on the week against Colorado, Tyler Bertuzzi's hat trick. But there were so many good ones, and we'll get to those later in the episode here. But how can you not pick a birthday hat trick for a guy who's been struggling, who's about to pop off for the rest of the year, Tyler Bertuzzi? Let's go.
Who also scored his 100th goal in that game.
There you go.
I told you, milestones aplenty this week. Dylan, what's your marquee moment?
Mine is Domi. However, I just want to compliment the fact that Domi and Bertuzzi came into this team together and have found each other. And I love the moment of Domi posting him singing happy birthday to Bert as they were walking across the tarmac this week. It was awesome to see that.
Yeah, well, for me, the camaraderie on this team is coming together, boys. And I'm liking what I'm seeing. It doesn't matter who's in, who's up, who's down. It's next man up mentality. These guys are playing for each other. My marquee moment this week was Sheldon Keefe willing to finally break up the power play unit, to finally move guys into positions to succeed, and not putting Morgan Riley immediately back with TJ Brody, leaving things alone that organically came together. So for me, it's Sheldon Keefe's coming out party 5 seasons in. Welcome to the league, boys. He's finally figured it out. He's got some magic minutiae going with this squad. But the week that was for this team is beautiful. They win 4 games, but it's not just by, oh, they beat the Arizona Coyotes. Oh, they beat the scuttering St. Louis Blues. Hey, they beat the Vegas Golden Knights. Injury depleted or not, that team knows how to win when they're injured. They know what to do. They beat
at
the
home,
Colorado
dude.
Avalanche.
At home. Vegas,
yes, at home. They beat the Colorado Avalanche, a team, by the way, that was up 2-0. Oh, hey, remember a few Saturdays ago when the Leafs were up 3-0 on Colorado and they flipped the script? Welcome to what it feels like, Avs fans, when the Leafs go ahead and get the job done. This squad came together on all fronts, though. It's not just a power play. It's straight through the lineup, which we will talk about. I'm freaking happy, though, because this squad held on to 3rd in the Atlantic, and they're trying to catch the guys in front of them. And by golly, do they have a chance with the week that's coming up. But is there anything else from this week that you guys want to touch on before we move on to the next point?
There was one thing, and it was kind of more evident in the Vegas game, but I think it was the first time that we have seen this team score a goal in every single different way. I mean, we won puck battles. We got offensively, like odd man rushes. We had guys tipping in pucks, and that was Matthews, who I think has probably scored his first goal of the year without shooting the puck, which I thought was pretty amazing.
And they got that one. He got that one off the shoulder. Is that what you're talking about?
No, just the tip. Holmberg shot that all, one? And he was just like, I'll just put my stick on this for you.
I'll never not laugh when someone says just the tip. Sorry. My child shiny brain is just makes that laugh.
You saw JT coming through on the third line.
After we will talk about that. Don't jump ahead, my buddy.
I'm just explaining that game. And then McCabe came out and scored a beauty one-timer. I thought that game really demonstrated that we can score on every single aspect. And I thought it was very exciting to see, especially against the Stanley Cup champions.
Clarkie?
Yeah, there's so much. But I think the biggest thing for me is the Leafs have finally found a pairing partner for Morgan Rielly, the guy we've been asking for years, William Lagesson. No,
I thought you were saying Christopher Tanev. I was all
that's sick. Not it. That's not it. It was such a good week. There was a lot of the secondary scoring showed up. We heard about Joseph Woll getting healthy and coming back. He had a really good game with the Marlies this week, so that's encouraging. Sammy's been playing really well. The physicality is coming out to play. I thought Ryan Reeves even showed up a little bit here and there throughout the week. So there's just so much to be really happy about this week, regardless of the 4-0 record. There's just a lot of little things that are kind of chalking up, and we'll get to some of them later in the show. But it was just an unbelievable week. I called 1-1-1-1 as my record for the week, and I'm really happy I was wrong because that was a really solid week.
It was a great week. And one thing for me on the end of this week here for the Colorado Avalanche game, it was a game where they showed some grit, some comeback, some not, hey, we're down by two. It's Saturday night. It's the end of a long road trip. We have every excuse we could possibly use to say we just didn't have this one. You know, we'll be happy with what we did. They didn't rest on their laurels. They friggin' came out and they won that game. So that, to me, it had a playoff feel. And what do good teams do? They win games they don't deserve to win. They make the effort and they get it done. So good teams find a way. And the Leafs found a way on Saturday night, which made me very happy. And something else that made me happy, guys, the faceoff dot was pretty darn good this week, too. A lot of guys really stepping up and getting it done. So I'm really happy about that as well. The penalty kill, though, still an Achilles heel. Doesn't matter what team they play. Power play goal, St. Louis, Arizona, go down the list. They're still allowing those power play goals. And yes, they squeaked one out against the Colorado Avalanche, a good team, but that will eventually kick you in the butt, especially in the playoffs. But the week that will be this week, we got Vegas again. They're going to want to get a little revenge. Arizona again, they'll want a little revenge. And then the New York Rangers. So I'll ask you, Mr. 1-1-1, what is your record this week, Clark Monroe?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Vegas, Arizona, and the Rangers. I feel like this is a week that they haven't been in this position in a long time. This is the longest winning streak they've been on since 2003, and which is cool, by the way, because 2003, James, I think if you remember, that was a pretty fun year.
But it was 2003 and 4. That one wasn't the fun year.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the other.
2003, that was the fun year. Yeah, oh, it was 2003 and 4 they went on it.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah, then. I looked at the same thing because I was like, oh, this could be good. And then it was like, no.
Either way, it's a throwback. It's a throwback to the era. So it's better than nothing. But it's their longest win streak since, 21 years. And this is a chance for them to really kind of turn a huge corner here, especially if they get off on a hot foot against Vegas, which I think, why not? What signs are pointing at them not being able to play with the Vegas Golden Knights right now, especially with, again, Eichel's still going to be out, Stone's still going to be out. A few of those other guys that they had out will still be out.
Just to throw a little wrench in that, Eichel actually may be in the lineup.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Screw it. Bring him on. Let's go.
But he's going to be banged up, so.
it's his first game in a long time, if that's going to be the case. But either way, you know what? I feel like they showed so well against Vegas on, what was that, Thursday? That why not? Why not? I think they can get off to a, I'm going to say 2-1. There'll be one game this week that they just won't, something will go wrong, I think. But 2-1, I think, and it'll be another really, really solid week. So looking forward to it.
I was going to say 2-1, but you know what? I'm going to go 3-0. They're going to push this to 10 games and continue the hot streak. I think that a banged up Vegas team is, you know, their own Achilles heel. I think Arizona is Arizona. And I know in New York, they have a little bit of juice injected into that lineup lately, but I think Revo is going to knock that guy down to the ground and show him who's boss in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, there will be a fight with Matt Rempe. I definitely agree that'll happen. I'm going 3-0-2, and I'm not doing it for the Jamie Roberts special. I'm doing it because I believe in this squad, man. It'd be great to see them stretch it to 10-0. You know, a 10-game winning streak, really juice this team up, really get their chances close to catching the top two dogs in the Atlantic Division, also separating them from the Tampa Bay Lightning and Detroit Red Wings below them. You keep winning, you keep the space. Right now, all they did last night was keep the pace because the other teams around them did win as well. So you kept that spacing, but you really want to extend that gap and make sure you're one of the top seeds in the Atlantic. It's nice, though. For once, guys, the Maple Leafs, they're not set in stone, and they have to battle for every point and really feel battle-tested going towards the playoffs. So I'm liking how that'll be. But I'm 3-0-0, so we'll see who comes out right on the other side of things. Clark, you were right 2 weeks ago. I was right last week. Dilly, you're probably going to be right this week. Let's just keep that streak a-rolling. But we'll swing into the GBU, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And for me, I'm going to say this. The good, I look at the stats. I read them all the time. And one thing I was telling you guys a couple weeks ago was the giveaways would be a problem against good teams like Vegas and Colorado. Well, guess what the Maple Leafs have cleaned up? This week, they are not the ones leading each and every game in giveaways. I love it. And their takeaways are up too. You pair those two things together, you have a recipe for success. There is not one game this week that they trail the team in giveaways. That, to me, is a tip of the cap because that is a team that is committed to playing a certain way and making sure they have puck possession. And if you have puck possession, 9 times out of 10, you're leading on the scoreboard. So I liked that this week. That's my good, focusing on stuff that I harp about all the time. If I'm going to say it's ugly, I got to say it's good when it's good. Clarky, what's your good?
I think it's got to be the lines. I know that that's like the next couple of topics, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it, the lines. The nice Matthew Marner, that hasn't been a problem all year. I think that's been a solid line all year. But the way that they've combined and basically put John Tavares as a third line center, which we kind of talked about before the season started, but it didn't. I don't think when we talked about it, it looked like this. Bobby McMahon being able to play the way he has been, and Nick Robertson as that speed option.
Yep.
And you know what? I was thinking about it as I was watching the Vegas game more, but the Colorado game a little bit as well. And just thinking about how, you know, when Tavares was on a line with Bertuzzi and Nylander, you know, Nylander's got all the skill as well, but he's not necessarily that like speedy, you know, pest kind of player. Yep. Tavares and Bertuzzi, to me, they're two slower players. So they're not necessarily creating anything together because they're both kind of on the slower side of things. So when you put McMahon out there, who's kind of a Zach Hyman type of player, with Tavares, which is, if you remember, that's when Tavares had the most success, was when he was playing with Zach Hyman, when Hyman was on the team. And you put him out there with a speedy guy like Robertson who can just buzz around and get everything done. To me, that's the right recipe for John Tavares, is you get those two guys who can do the things that he isn't doing. Whereas Bertuzzi and him, I feel like just were always a little bit a step behind and it wasn't quite a good pairing. And then you get that Bertuzzi, Domi, and Nylander line. And man, I've been loving watching that line. It's so fun out there. And, you know, I give credit to the Dangle podcast on this one. They kind of said it, but having two pricks on a line just makes them more pricks. Like, they make them more of a prick. each of them. And not only that, but it's rubbing off on Willie a little bit, I think. I think Willie's getting a little bit of that kick in him as well. And he's been out there kind of causing some stuff. If you remember the game against Arizona, and when Sean Dursey kind of ran him into the boards, he kind of went and, he went and pushed him back and started a whole thing. And Domi and Bertuzzi were out there protecting their star player. And to me, that's awesome. That's what we've been wanting those two guys to do all season long. And I called Bertuzzi out a couple weeks ago on this show saying he's not enough of that. He's not doing enough. Domi's not doing enough of that. And this week, I feel like just emphasized that they are doing that. And this is now they're feeling comfortable and they're feeling like they're maybe as a little mini Bash Brother pair almost on the line together. And they're kind of having a lot of fun. So I'm loved. Yeah, the mini Bash Bros, because they're not, neither of them are that big. But I think it's this chemistry that they found. And David Kampf is looking sharp again. He wasn't earlier in the season. I feel like he's looking good. Holmberg, I think, has found a place beside him, and whoever they put on that fourth line, whether it's Reeves or Gregor, you know, it's just kind of a, doesn't really matter, because it's going to be Yarncroke by a couple weeks from now. It's going to be Cali Yarncroke on that line. So I think this, the pairings, the combos that they found, I hope they stick with it, because this seems like kind of the magic answer right now. And that's a long-winded answer for my good, but that's the good for me.
Dilly, what's your good? We'll get back into those things in a couple of minutes. Yeah. Here, what's your good there, Dilly?
Well, my good kind of reflects a little bit on last week, because it was, I saw it in the Monday game against St. Louis Blues, but I just want to compliment Lily for being very confident and taking on the role of being on the power play. Obviously, with Riley out of the lineup, I thought that was a big moment for him, you know, to kind of take it into his own hands and take a grasp in growing and being that reliable second guy if anything were to kind of happen to Riley. And I think he did it really well. There was the goal by Matthews that Lily, I think, kind of helped out. He was more in the corner, which I thought was a little bit different, which I think is good because, you know, unexpected kind of movement going on and on the power play is always good. I know in past years that we've had the problem of, you know, the guys are always in the same position and it was just predictable. So having a different guy out there kind of let everything move smoothly. And yeah, that's my good.
It's not a bad good at all, man. Here's my bad for the week here for the Toronto Maple Leafs. My bad is the fact the expectations just shot through the roof. Leafs Nation is not good at managing expectations. If this team is doing bad, the world is ending. If this team is doing good like it is right now, this is the way they should always play. And when they lose one game, everyone will be ripped and every head should roll. Leafs Nation, don't bring out that bad. Let's enjoy the role. Let's enjoy the role. This team is doing well again. Enjoy it. But at the same time, don't go crazy. Let's just take it one game at a time and see what happens. But Leafs Nation, manage your expectations. This team still needs another penalty killer. This team still needs another defenseman. And this team, as good as it's doing right now, still can tighten it up and do better. And they will. This lineup we'll talk about in a moment can get more out of it. But just for me, the bad is managing the expectations, because people are just popping off and going after all other fan bases. It's wild. But Dylan, what's your bad for the week?
I know we're going to talk about it later, but who is, my bad is this team is so good. Who is going to go down when the guys that are coming off the injury come back into the lineup? And I know we'll talk about it later.
Oh, I can't wait to argue about this. We're going to have some fun.
It's the penalty kill. You kind of just said it, James, but the penalty kill just needs to continue getting a little bit better. It had some signs of life kind of at times this year, but overall, it's just, I think it's not up to the standard that they need to be. Everything else is firing at really well, you know, for the most part. And I saw a chart the other day of kind of how they rank on a lot of different categories, and they were top 10 in a lot of different categories, but except for penalty kill. So if they can just sharpen that up, honestly, that's the bad. It's not quite ugly, But in terms of being what could get better, that's like the most glaring thing right now for me is the penalty kill and the special teams, but mostly the penalty kill.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with something funny here for the ugly. Okay. And you guys will get a chuckle out of this. For me, it's the coverage of the Maple Leafs. Because there's a guy who went down to Arizona where he's from and could possibly score 50 goals. Why did the NHL and the Toronto media, who's always all over everything negative, why did they not pump this story and milk it for all it is worth? Boyhood man going back to where he came from can score 50 goals, which is still a pretty damn impressive milestone. If his season ended today and he only scored 50 goals, we say that's a damn good season. We all know he's got a lot of runway left, but they didn't pump this up. Like, it was like, yeah, it's just 50 goals, big whoop-de-doo, you know, because everybody's expecting him to score more. This should have been something to pump that game up and really add some flair, some pomp, some circumstance. And I'm sorry, I know the Leafs are covered to death, but this is something that was a little ugly to me. It was ugly like last week with the William Nylander scoring the point and the boys didn't get the puck. This is the same kind of ugly for me. I didn't like the fact this wasn't pumped up. It's a big deal. He's going back to Arizona. It's written in the stars. Scores his 50th and 51st goal. It should have been a big deal, but it wasn't. It was like, yeah, we'll see him next game. No problem. Move on. If it was the 60th goal, maybe we'd get a little excited. 70, we'd be going crazy. But 50, man, it's awesome. Matthews at 50. That's what it felt like. And I'm like, man, I was excited. I had a whole graphic done up and everything. Him in the desert scoring his 50th goal. Wicked. This is cool. This is written in the stars. It's storybook. But the NHL, yet again, carry that ball and do something good with it. What do you think, Clark?
Now, was it a TSN game?
Yeah, because it's on Wednesdays.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a TSN game, James. So how much do you want to bet if it was? How much do you want to bet Sportsnet was just like, well, it's not our game, so what are we going
to
do?
Hang on. But, okay, fair enough. What happened to Wednesday night hockey?
No, it was Tuesday, wasn't it?
Nope. Wednesday, Thursday was a double back-to-back.
All right.
It doesn't matter where the game is being shown. ESPN has the thing down there for the rights too, right?
Yeah.
So get PK Subban to hype it up, man. Get somebody with some juice in their veins to just hype it up a bit. Mm-hmm. This is a big freaking deal. 50 goals at home. It's written in the stars. It's right there for you. It's on a silver platter. Hype it up a little bit. And by the way, shine some light on your damn pet project, the Phoenix, Arizona. I'm going to leave you soon for a new building, Coyotes. Shine some light on their ass and really blow some smoke there and just hype the game up. Let people see how cool it looks at Mullet Arena. I want to go see a game there. I like the shadows. I thought it was wicked. I think it's a little intimate environment that if you go once, you could say this is pretty cool. Not somewhere you'd want to go all the time, but it has a little bit of a feel to it that it's a novelty. But the NHL just drop the ball. That's my ugly because I think it's ugly that you don't promote one of your star players in a marquee moment of the season.
Yeah, it was on Sportsnet, apparently. But, yeah, either way, I kind of agree with you there. That's a good point. Ugly for me, you know what? I don't have a ton that stand out. I'll say this is that I think in terms of ugly, you kind of set the expectations, James, in the bad. And I agree with you there. I'll take it another angle and I'll say, to me, their flaws are now – like their ugly flaws are now very much, I feel like this winning streak has almost shown us exactly what they need. So I'm not saying that ugly in a way that it's ugly about the team. I'm saying their ugly flaws are now so obvious and so clear that I think it's very much, it's very obvious what they need to go do now. And if anything, ugly is that Brad Tree Living hasn't gone and done it yet. That's the only thing I can really think of right now is that, you know what, it's very clear now. Morgan Riley's partner is priority number one, I think, in terms of a trade target.
Yep.
Whoever that is. And again, we'll have a show for that one, I'm sure, before it happens, dedicated to it. So that's, to me, priority number one. I think if you can find somebody who's an upgrade on a Pontus Holmberg for that fourth line left wing, who's a deadly penalty killer, especially when Yarncroke comes back. If you can picture a fourth line, an effective fourth line of insert person here, not named Blake Coleman, David Kampf. Blake Coleman would be ideal, but that's an expensive fourth liner. But yeah. David Kampf and Callie Yarncroke on your fourth line, because Yarncroke's going to be penalty killing as well when he gets back. So there's your internal penalty killer that you're getting. If you could add another guy, that would just take it to a whole nother level. So I think like those are your two priorities right now. I think Morgan Riley's partner is number one, and that fourth line penalty killing specialist is your number two. And that's my ugly, I guess, is just that the ugly flaws and blatant holes are now so clear. Go fix them. Go fill them up with somebody.
Dylan, what's your ugly?
It's not necessarily an ugly, but I just kind of thought of this one.
Ooh.
I know that we were kind of very hard on a very individual person when he got sent down to the minors. And since he's been back from the minors, he's gone 9-1-0 in his last 10 games, and nobody's talking about it. Sir,
I think I think everybody's waiting for the crash, man.
Exactly. Which I think is terrible because it's going to be a big explosion in Leafland, and Twitter's going to go on fire. They're going to say, fire Keith, you know, the typical three, fire Brad, hey Brad, do a move, and or hey, it's just the Shanna plan kind of sort of thing.
Hey, you're just talking about exactly what me and Clark just said about the whole expectations, man.
Of course. But I wanted to show light on Sammy because his numbers have been phenomenal since he's come back, and he turned an ugly into a very, very good.
Listen, as we said on this show just a few weeks ago, I'm here for the Sonar redemption arc, man. And he's definitely making a lot of us eat our crow because we all wanted him not to be around this team. We were not wanting him to be in the net. We were cringing to the level of Michael Hutchinson being between the pipes.
We were kind of cringing like Edmonton was cringing with Campbell.
Oh, soup is cold.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of things that are cold, you know what? Our friends, they've signed up with the NHL, and they want to give you a great deal on a cold product, and that is, we know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers get bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. So if you want to bet on the Leafs games that are coming up this week, whether it's Vegas, Arizona, or the Rangers, get on in there. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPM. New customers bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPM. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for your problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccp.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bet set to expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright the NHL, all rights reserved. You know what to do. Get over to DraftKings, you THPN. Get in there, get it done, and put on your crown, queen. You know what it is. All right. Let's talk about someone who is putting on their crown right now, and that is Tyler Bertuzzi. We all had our... this guy's just not showing up. I tried to fluff it up by saying, you know what? He's dogging on the puck. He's battling along the boards. He's bringing a little grit. Well, now he's bringing that grit, like you said earlier, Clark. He's making Willie show up caveman style as well, a little bit dragging them knuckles. But he's also done something that I've wanted for a while, and I've said it to you, Clark, and probably to you, Dylan. I wanted Tyler Bertuzzi in the net front role on the power play to bang in the garbage. And that's what he can do really well for this team. You put him there, he doesn't mind getting hacked and whacked and cross-checked and pushed around. He feeds off it. And then when he scores, he screams at you or cheers at you and gets excited because that's the Neanderthal in him. Love it. I absolutely love it. For me, Tyler Bertuzzi is hitting that stride. And so many people from Detroit and Boston said, this guy takes a little while to get going, but when he does, you're going to love him. Well, I think Tyler Bertuzzi just had his coming out party this week, and he's ready to start going. And it all started with Austin Matthews pretty much scoring the goal for him.
Yeah,
to get the monkey. He's like, we're getting you a goal. Everybody's getting a cookie. You're going to eat here too. So he got it done for Bert. I'm loving what he's bringing. Clarkie, Bertuzzi, is he growing on you, or do you still want the man to cut the rest of his hair and get the F out?
No. You know what? This is the thing, is that it's the Bertuzzi that I was hoping to see is now kind of showing up. And it's, I think the presence of Max Domi out there with him has pushed him. Oh, hi, Uncle Blocky. Hi, James. It has pushed him, Max Domi, to the level we wanted Tyler Bertuzzi to be at. And I also agree with you, James. I think getting him out there on the power play has given him a little bit more confidence. Anytime you can get those touches on the power play, it always helps. And I think that, he just needed to kind of get his role more clear. And like I said earlier, I think getting him out on the line with those two speedier, skilled guys in Domi and Nylander has also allowed him to be more of who he is. Whereas, again, with Tavares, who, again, there's similar speed in terms of skating ability. Also, John Tavares is kind of an underrated, low-key, like, kind of battler in the corners as well. So, and, you know, he's the, as Steve Dangle always calls him, the little thing king. He just does all the little things. And I think him and Tyler Bertuzzi just weren't meshing together, even though they played together for so much of the year. And to put him on a line with, again, another pest and some more skill, I think, in general, just a little bit more speed, allows him to kind of just go do his thing and go in the front of the net and just kind of cause chaos. And I think when Tyler Bertuzzi is causing chaos, that's when he's at his best. And this past, week and a bit, he's really shown that he can do it again. And I think you can see the smile on his face is just is all you really need. Is I think he's starting to kind of find his groove and start to kind of love being a Maple Leaf. It took him, 50 games, 55 games, but yeah. I think you can see out there he's starting to finally love kind of being in the blue and white, and he's found his niche. So really excited to see if he can keep this up, because if he does, this is the $5.5 million player that we wanted when we signed him. This is the guy we wanted, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I think that, it all kind of stems from the line mates here. Like Domi and Willie have really, complimented him in the right way. Putting him on the power play also gave him the opportunity, obviously, to get the monkey off his back. So I give Keefe all the credit in shuffling the lines and, giving guys the opportunity to come up. But I think Bert just, he just wanted to have that opportunity to succeed, and I think he wasn't getting that at the beginning of the year, but you can really tell that he's loving it, because he doesn't even go for his own like little celly. He just wants to get big hugs from the boys when he celebrates. So I love seeing that each time he scores. He's a great compliment to that second line, and those boys are rolling on all cylinders right now. So I think it's he's the guy that going forward is kind of our momentum mover in games going forward, I think.
Well, and Sheldon Keefe even said, and I'll keep this short, James, but Sheldon Keefe even said before his hat trick game in the media that Tyler Bertuzzi, he still has a lot of belief in this player, and that Tyler Bertuzzi, he thinks, is going to be a huge player for the team down the stretch and when the games get bigger. So to hear, maybe he heard that, maybe he's just more getting confident. A little bit more confident, because for the last couple months, who's to say that he hasn't been kind of doubting himself? And this last little stretch, I think, is you've seen that burst in that boost in him. It just, he seems like he's loving the game again, or being playing happier out there and just kind of having more fun. And I think Tyler Bertuzzi having fun means us as viewers have fun, because he just causes chaos out there, and that's what we wanted for so long. So I'm excited.
No, it definitely makes sense. I mean, this guy's out there doing what he needs to do. He gets fired up. Leafs Nation gets fired up. He feeds off that kind of stuff, right? So you've seen it when he was with Boston, breaking sticks and having fun. He liked that kind of stuff. So we'll see how it keeps going. Glad that Keith is excited for him too. Third line, something to be really excited about, though. And I, you know, beat my drum about putting players in positions to succeed. You make a line of John Tavares, Nick Robertson, Bobby McMahon. All three players come together. You have John Tavares this season. By his standards, not having a John Tavares-esque season, but you put him on that third line, allows him to have some kind of sheltered minutes, in my opinion, and gives him a chance to play with the younger guys like McMahon and Robertson. They help elevate his game. He elevates their game with his passing and the prowess he has. Really works well. And it seems like when you slot guys the right way, it starts to come together. And this has come together. This line is clicking. I'm liking it. Hopefully it sticks. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what have you liked from the third line, Clarkie? Because to me, this is the third line we've been waiting for.
Yeah, and I think this line wouldn't have been possible 3 months ago because Bobby McMahon didn't have the confidence that he's shown in the last couple of weeks until the last couple of weeks. He's really popped off.
He's a damn player.
And he's showing us that he is essentially what Zach Hyman was when Zach Hyman was kind of finding his groove. And I'm not saying now. I'm saying Zach Hyman, early Zach Hyman. But
yeah, we all same. Like what Zach Hyman turned into. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. But he's the same kind of player. I feel like he's a larger body player, but he's not massive. But he throws his body around. He gets into the areas to cause disruption especially on the forecheck. He's got a great shot. Zach Hyman always had an underrated shot. He can drive to the net. He does all those things that are difficult to do, and he's showing that he can do it at a high level and put the puck in the net. And again, this line combination wouldn't have worked, I don't think, if they tried it 3 months ago. It just wouldn't work. Nick Robertson wasn't ready, I don't think, and Bobby McMahon definitely wasn't ready. I even, as short as about a month ago on this show, I called out Bobby McMahon as a guy he's on the roster and he doesn't do anything bad, but he's also not showing me that he can really do anything to stay in the lineup. And he can't come out of the lineup now. He straight up can't. He has solidified his spot, at least on the roster. So that's the best part to me about this third line is we've seen Nick Robertson's game kind of evolve over the course of the season. John Tavares in a lower role is huge because that puts him up against potentially lesser competition and he can just dominate them. And we've seen that. He's just out there dominating the lower competition, and Bobby McMahon is thriving. So it's a great, great line at the moment, and this is a line I hope that we can see even get better.
Definitely. Yeah, third line.
Prime example of Bobby McMahon winning a battle was the JT goal in the Vegas game. He won the battle. Nicky got the puck and dished it out to JT. JT scored. Where I think this line is good is the fact that John Tavares can win the faceoff against guys lower down in the lineup. Now you might see him go up against a top line, you know, kind of to shut them down, but I don't think that's their role at this moment right now in the season. But I think it gives John Tavares the advantage that, you know, he can outplay the people on third lines. You know, they're at his speed almost essentially, and he can just outwork them like he used to against top talented players. But yeah, this line is, I hope, the line for the rest of the season. I hope they're together for the rest of the season. I know that
but
yeah.
Because we got guys coming back. Yarn Croak on the cusp. Giordano is imminently set to return from Mark Masters today. And then, of course, you have other guys ready to roll and come back like Joel Wohl as well. So that means you have to start making room on this roster. Max Lajoie put on waivers, I believe, today or sent down or whatever it was. So he's one casualty already off this roster who was playing with this team. Rafai, I believe he's already gone down as well on an emergency callback or whatever it was. But you look at this team and you say, okay, who's going to be the starting odd man's out? Lagesson, do you put Riley and Gio together and just hope that Gio, hey, Stay at home defenseman. Don't get up the ice too far. Just be that grumpy old man in the back end and let Riley do his thing. Is that going to be a thing? But Lagesson seems like a smart choice to send down. Some people say that Pontus Holmberg, I think he has two more games. He's waiver eligible still, or not waiver eligible. He can just be sent down and doesn't have to clear waivers. Same with Nick Robertson. We're starting to cut into that line we just talked about by Nick Robertson going down. And is it going to be the old adage, hey, well, if it makes it the safe thing to do, we have to do it? Or do you start saying, hey, let's just say screw it. The best lineup plays. Jones, you're getting sent down. Reeves, you're getting sent down. Whoever it is. I'm just saying those names because they make sense. Lagesson, whoever it is. What do you do here when everybody gets back, Dylan? Who are you sending away? Do you keep the lineup the way it is, or do you bring the guys back in and augment what you have? I mean, adding Cali Yarncroke is not a bad thing, but does it matter for chemistry?
I think if it's not broke yet, don't try and tweak anything. Like if this streak is continuing, don't try and fix it. Don't try and
tweak it. But you have to. You have to. If you have guys coming off LTIR, you have to make moves.
You could say
Yarncroke guys away.
Or Holmberg is the guy that's going down and Yarns is going on the fourth. Like that's the only idea that I could think of. Lagesson is obviously the odd man.
Homie and Jones would have to go.
And then Jones, he's probably getting picked up if that's a choice.
With the trade deadline on the cusp here, man, and Hildeby being what people think he is and Joe Wohl about the return, maybe you look at a team and say, hey, do you want this guy for a third?
You could do that.
Putting him through waivers
Wohl has already started in the minors, so I don't know if that's even an option right now, unless the talks are already happening. I mean, I don't think something can be done that quick.
Yeah, I don't think you want to put Jones on waivers. I think to me it's Lagesson, and you just put Gio in the lineup for now. I think you slow play the Jones thing unless there's a deal on the play on the table right now.
Jones has been battling an injury lately, remember?
Okay, well, maybe they can find a spot for him on the old IR. But we'll see. I just don't think you put him on waivers. I think right now, I think they only have to get rid of one person because Rafai and Lajoie are down. So to me, it's Lagesson. You send him down. I don't think he has to go through waivers. I could be wrong on that.
I don't think Lagesson does.
I feel like he doesn't have to. So to me, that gives you you put Gio down and win the lineup, and I think you just kind of force feed him the Morgan Riley minutes for now, because there just has to be something else in the works here. There has to be. But I think, like you said, I think you just put Yarncroke into that forward lineup. You let Holmberg be the extra forward, and you kind of rotate him and Reeves. I guess Gregor is still up too, so he's another option to get kind of moved. And honestly, at this point, guys, love me Noah Gregor, love the guy. If we lose him on waiver, I don't think he would get claimed. I've seen some guys get on waivers in the last couple of weeks where I'm like, that guy could get claimed, and I think they're better than Noah Gregor has been. So I think if you put Noah Gregor on waivers to go down, I don't think he would get claimed. And if he does, are we that sad about it? I mean,
if it was early season Noah Gregor, yes. This Noah Gregor right now, where he doesn't have the juice and jam he did.
And he's losing his spot. Let's be honest. I mean, Reeves has more of a spot than he does. Yarncroke has more of a spot than he does. Holmberg has more of a spot than he does right now. McMahon's not going. So, like, I might lean Gregor, and then that way you can keep Lagesson on the roster. You can keep Holmberg as your extra forward to rotate in, and that might be the move. So I'm kind of leaning a little bit more towards Gregor, but I think the easy answer would just be Lagesson, and then you kind of slow play figuring out everything else.
Yeah, like Terry Koshan always tells us, right? Injuries have a way of helping you. When you're coming out of training camp or when you're heading towards the trade deadline. So maybe an $11 million player gets hurt and we put him on LTIR and bring in a bunch of bodies. Who knows? Things happen, man. I mean, Vegas, Tampa, I mean, teams do it. So let's let the Leaf roll the dice, see what happens. But lastly, Sheldon Keefe. I want to give the man a little kudos, a little credit. And I made a video about it. I feel this way. I think finally he's doing what he wants to do with this lineup. He's putting guys in places where he wants them to be, whether it was first out of injury, but now out of necessity. and keeping it that way. So often Sheldon Keefe goes right back to what he knows, Riley Brody, right back to the same power play unit. Tavares in the bumper. Tavares in that front. That five-man unit stays there. Not now. He is learning that, hey, we can shift things around to make things work. And if things are working, like you just said, Dylan, if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. They did it. They've done it. Simone Benoit, McCabe, great. Brody Liljegren, great. Riley, find him someone to play with. I don't care if it's a stick man. Cool. That's what we're doing. Back
the pylon.
Is that Mark Giordano's new nickname, is stick man?
Ooh, listen. I think that man comes back with a little fire and hunger in his belly after what he just experienced. Losing a loved one is hard on you. And he's probably going to channel that rage to the first person he can drive a fist through. So I can't wait to see that rage fight. But also, I think the boys rally around Gio and pick up a couple victories for him coming back in that lineup. But for me, Sheldon Keefe, stick taps, tip of the cap, whatever you want to give
Chef's
him.
Kiss.
Yeah,
if I could add to that, I think there must have been, and I'll keep this quick, there must have been a very important conversation had with the coaching staff and John Tavares in the last couple weeks, because not only have they moved him off the second line down to the third line, they've taken him off the first power play unit, and he just seems like he is totally on board. Like, he seems very bought into this. It almost seems like it was his idea. And I don't know how far that would go. I would love to have heard that conversation, because I guarantee that he was brought into an office at some point and said, hey, John, we're going to try out something different here. Are you on board with this? Are you cool? Is this going to be good with you? Sorry if it isn't, because it's happening anyways, kind of thing. But I would love to have heard if that conversation happened and how on board. I think John Tavares is the type of guy who would have been like, I'm in. Let's do this. I want this to happen. I think Bertuzzi, I think Tyler needs to be on the first power play unit. I think I would actually benefit from being on the second power. Like, I think he would have been the type of captain who would totally have bought into that. But I would love to have heard that conversation, because I'm sure it was really interesting.
I think John Tavares is just very aware of everything going on, even in himself. And I think that speaks to the type of person he is. I could agree with you on that.
But if he was involved in this conversation, I think that this goes a long way back to when he was named captain of this team, and people thought maybe it should be Morgan Riley or maybe it should be Austin Matthews. If he was actively on board with this plan and it's going to work out as well as it looks like it's working out, that is a captain move. That is a leadership move right there that Austin Matthews probably would never have done. Morgan Riley, it's different because it's a defenseman, but like that's the type of captain move that could win some playoff rounds right there if that's the way that they're going to be able to play with this lineup the way it is now. So shout out to Keith, yes, but I'm also curious how much John Tavares had to do with all of this.
Shout out to our captain.
Yes.
Yeah, captain, my captain. Well, Leafs Nation, we've wrapped up the week. The week is to come. Some more wins, some more victories, some more fun for our Maple Leafs, the boys in the blue and the white. But this right here, we ended tonight, is Offside Hockey Talk, where the Maple Leafs and hockey come to talk.